pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I'm your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my amazing friends... In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
I don't need your charity. What, with your free comics and all? I have comics. I got my own comics.
Yeah. Didn't want to drive up to Orem today?
No, I was teaching today.
Ah, you were teaching. Okay. Yeah.
That's why we're recording now.
So, I love it.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't as strong of a free comic book day as it's been in the past for me. So I don't know if that was lack of advertising on the Nerd Store's part. Because I knew that when I went in and asked what the plan was, Charles said, I haven't done anything for that yet, and I should have done that a month ago.
Wow. So
that's what I'm like. I wonder if that caused it, because last year it was really busy, and it was partly my position there, but also just the people that came in. I wound up selling a lot of books, but this year it was a little off. I did get two $50 backers for the Kickstarter.
Nice,
awesome.
So that was awesome. So I did $100 basically in Kickstarter sales, and about $50 in regular sales, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, not as strong for me as it has been in the past. I was hoping to sell out of all of my back stock. That was really my hope. And I still came home with back stock, damn it. But yeah, I stuck around.
Is that how many buttons you had open on your shirt?
What? What's that?
Do you not know how to sell? Give me a couple buttons. Give me some of that Sean Connery you got growing down there. Let me see that chest merkin.
Let out some of the Connery. Yes. But anyway, we talked. I had a good turnout. I sat right next to Doug Wagner, and across from Mike Levin's, and we had a great time. We all just chatted and stuff and hung out, and then, yeah.
Nice.
It was okay. They told me that, and then they were telling me, oh, last year we stayed until the raffle, and we made more money during that than we did during Free Comic Book Day. I'm like, all right, the raffle starts at 6. I promised I'd be recording at 6, so I could push it back a little bit, but I need to, you know, I'll stick around. And Doug said, just stick around till 5:30 and see what happens. Nothing happened. There was nobody there yet. You know why? You know why? Because everybody's used to that damn raffle starting a half an hour late.
Right.
Nobody has been punished for being late. They've always been rewarded for being late, and that's not how you do things in this. You shouldn't how you should do things in this world.
I should have messaged Braxton and been like, "Hey, if you draw my name on the raffle, claim it for me."
Yeah, I told Doug he could claim any of my prizes, including the TV.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Adrian Ropp dropped by after his free comic book day at Black Cat, and to show a contrast, he said they were at a steady line until 3 o'clock. So from Black Cat opening until 3 o'clock, and he sold out of all of his stock that he brought with him. Every bit of it. So that, you know, that paints a picture to me. That was all. I'm not blaming anybody. I just, sometimes you got to get things started early. And honestly, I didn't see anything from Black Cat advertised.
But
he probably just got the word out to his, because he's got a lot of regulars. So he probably got the word out to his regulars. And I know Adrian said they had a pretty big name there that he was sitting next to. And so while people were waiting to talk to him, they were buying from Adrian, you know.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
Something to do.
But I'm like, I had a pretty big name right next to me, and it didn't seem like anybody knew he was there until they walked in. They're like, oh, Doug Wagner, you know. Yeah. Otherwise, fun show. And, I mean, I'll do it every year. Why not?
Nice.
How about you guys? How was your free comic book day?
It lacked any free comics because I don't attend free comic book day. The one or two times that I did, it was always so batshit crazy, it drove me nuts. But also this year it was Davis County Pride Festival at the same time. So I actually spent the day at Davis County Pride and had a delightful, delightful time. It's just, it's smaller.
Would you say you had a gay old time?
I would say that, actually, yes. Yes.
Thank you.
No, it's just, it's a fun one because it's smaller, it's free, it's very, very, very family friendly. It's just always so good to see the community support. So, got stopped by the Dragon Dads.
Oh, good.
Gave a fist bump to a Dragon Dad and got a sticker, you know, so always good times. Always good times there. So, yeah.
I'm a member of Dragon Dads, and they're always saying, hey, come to this event, come to this event, and I never go, so, yeah. It's like, fair. I just don't go.
I always stop by the Dragon Dads because they always hand out free stickers. I even got a free little 3D printed dragon from them this year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. They're doing well. Yeah. Yeah,
it's cute. So, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So.
I was working.
You're working.
Yeah, I was working.
So, no free day for you.
No.
No,
and I'm not complaining because I only work this job like two days a month.
And it's
very frustrating.
And very few days of that. So.
Yep.
Well, let's get into some comic book news, right? Is that what we start with?
Oh, we can today.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
former Columbia professor and comic book writer Len Strazewski has passed away at the age of 71. Known for his sharp critiques and deep experience, Strazewski shaped generations of student journalists. He also built a career in comics, writing for DC Comics on titles like The Flash, Starman, and Justice Society of America. He was a professor at Columbia College, professor emeritus and comic book writer. Died peacefully in an Evanston nursing home following months of infections and hospital stays.
Oof.
Well, that's sad.
That is sad.
Jinx, you owe me a soda.
Yeah.
I remember his Starman, when it came out, was such a big deal. It was selling out and going back for reprints two or three times.
Nice.
It was a big deal. And he brought back Justice Society in a way that we didn't think could happen after the Crisis on Infinite Earths shit happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So right. he did really well with that. I will say, you know, there was a bigger Justice Society run later on, but his was the one where we were like, oh, I didn't know I didn't know DC was even going to try to bring them back because of Crisis. So. And Len did a good job with it. So yeah, those were a couple of big ones I remember about him back in the 80s. And yeah, basically all through the 80s, he was working over at DC.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I do. Roger Sweet, creator of He-Man, dead at 91. Toy designer who created the He-Man character and He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. I hope he had a chance to see the new movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's sad. The movie comes out this summer.
Yep. He's been battling dementia. Oh, he doesn't know.
He wouldn't.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
Sorry.
You're not wrong. And yeah.
I was going to say, he either doesn't know or that is the only thing he does still know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a toss-up which way that could go.
Flip a coin. Yep.
His wife, Marlene, said that Roger passed away peacefully at his care facility Tuesday morning, just months after she received his devastating health decline and launched a GoFundMe to help cover his memory care costs.
Wow.
I do remember talking about that on the show. That is. Jerry Conway, Marvel Comics writer who created Punisher, Ms. Marvel, Jeez. And more, has passed away at the age of 73. Jerry Conway was a gifted writer. He was thoughtful, deeply attuned to the emotional and moral core of storytelling, and a wonderful and articulate advocate for comics and creators. His writing has inspired all of us at Marvel and will continue to inspire generations of writers, readers, and fans to come. That's from Dan Buckley, president of Marvel Comics and Franchise, who said in a statement. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Punisher. He was that means he was writing Spider-Man at the time. And somebody was talking about how Conway, he took over for Stan after Stan left the Spider-Man run.
Ah.
And, you know, he started out working with John Romita and then other artists as they went along. And he, you know, the Punisher was a big deal. I remember Ms. Marvel was the attempt at, you know, hitting the feminist movement that was really kicking off in the 70s. I know it started in the 60s, but the 70s was when we were paying attention, when everybody was paying attention to it a lot. And Ms. Marvel was sort of a ham-fisted attempt at having a feminist character. They didn't always get it right, but they did try. That was the important thing, right?
Yeah, so, much like Black Panther.
They tried. Yeah, like Black Panther. They tried.
Yeah, good for them. If at first you don't succeed. Let's move on.
If at first you don't succeed, keep hitting the dead horse.
Yes. Self-made hero announces Noisy Valley, The Art of Protest, a work of graphic nonfiction. Mm. Self-made hero, the publisher, has announced Noisy Valley, The Art of Protest, by, you've got to be fucking kidding me, Mafanwy Tristram. Mafanwy. Well,
Fanwy.
I got $5 and she's from Utah. a graphic work of nonfiction, Noisy Valley explores the importance of and efficacy of protest through a single community in the Rhondda Valley in South Wales. Oh!
Oh!
Oh! It's not American, it's Welsh. I'm it's surprised Welsh. It doesn't have a shitload more letters.
Yep. More consonants than are needed, yes.
Yeah, so it's spelled my Fanway, and it said Christine.
Yeah.
Because it's Welsh, see?
Mafanwy. Mafanwy would be her name, I would bet. Yeah, Mafanwy.
No, it's Christine.
Yeah, it's Christine. Gaelic names are always fun.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's Bob. It'll be Welsh Bob.
Welsh Bob. Yep. Yep.
Anyway, that's coming out. Watch out, Christopher Nolan. Godzilla's The Odyssey might be the ultimate adaptation of Homer's epic. I'm just going to put a pin in this real quick. Dear editor who wrote the headline, 10-10, no notes. On the other hand, I don't think Christopher Nolan's all that much worried about a Godzilla comic book.
Yeah, don't think he cares. Not that much.
But getting ready for a Christopher Nolan Odyssey, I could spice that up with a little Godzilla on the way in.
Yeah.
So yeah,
a lot of fun.
Yeah, IDW Publishing recently announced that the next installment of its acclaimed Godzilla's Monsterpiece Theater Presents comic series will be tackling none other than, I'm not kidding.
I know.
None other than The Odyssey from the creative team writer of Frank Thierry and artist Elias Kiriazis. Kiriazis. Whatever. I tried. I gave it a shot. And you know what? I'll bet it's Balkan, and therefore not racist that I can't say it. It's an oversized one-shot reimagining Homer's epic seas, Poseidon unleashing various kaiju to thwart Odysseus's long voyage home, with the king of the monsters himself providing aid to the wily hero. Anyway, pre-order deadline is yesterday. Oopsie daisy.
Oh, okay.
And that's it.
So, hope there's overstock. That's all. Yeah, hope there's overstock.
This one looks good. You know,
and they're also including Godzilla versus Robin Hood in as another story. And I'm like, that's just going to be like Godzilla versus Bambi.
Yep. That is exactly what it's going to be like. Anyway, that is it for the news, gang.
All right, we're going to take a little break. And we come back, we are giving our picks of the week.
Or we could talk about what we read.
Let's do that
first.
Oh,
we should talk. You know what? We should talk about what we read. It's been a long day, the Free Comic Book Day. Let's talk about what we read this week. Thank you, Jocelyn.
Hey, you're welcome.
Look, I'm just saying.
Why don't you start us out?
You don't have your Sunday brain plugged in right now.
No, I do not.
No.
This is why we have a routine.
I don't even have a Saturday brain plugged in right now. I just got back from Free Comic Book Day.
So I'll start this out because I slacked, you guys. I looked at my stack. So I have got to get better at getting into Dr. Volts like every week or every 2 weeks. Because when I go like 4 to 6 weeks between picking up books, I then get so overwhelmed by the sheer number of books I have to read, I can't even read them. So I a lot of times I actually do my reading on Saturday evening, so I haven't read anything yet this week. How about you, Jeff?
When you wait until you get your, hey, do you still want these books, call?
I don't wait that long, but
she's not a monster.
Yeah, I'm not a monster, but I do like when I picked up, I think it's actually been about 2 weeks since I went in, and I know I picked up 2 Thors, 2 Daredevil and Punishers. Like, I was like, oh dear. So that tells me it had been a hot minute since I had been in. So I've got a giant stack, and good intentions. That's what I've got in my life. Mm-hmm. How about you, Jeff?
I was given for my birthday last year the omnibuy of Matt Fraction's Thor.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. That was a very good present, I tell you. It was almost as if someone had asked me what I wanted. And
weird.
I said it, and then it happened.
Yeah.
Looking at you, first marriage.
Is that why they call him Volstagg the Mighty? Yes, yes it is.
So anyway, I cracked very carefully the cover on that and have been reading it in between seizures and sleep. So, yeah. That will be my answer to this question for at least a couple of weeks.
Nice. Nice.
That is a big fat book. You guys remember seeing that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fat.
Yeah.
Fat. Okay.
Nice.
What about you, sir?
For me this week, let's see. We picked up, I did read She-Hulk number 6. I don't know what the fuck just happened. All of a sudden, she's back in New York, and then the first wife of Thor's kid who was killed shows up in New York and says, oh yeah, all this stuff happened, don't you remember any of it? And She-Hulk has no memory of it. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what happened. So she's explaining what happened, not that she's a reliable narrator, and we don't know what happened. And as far as I know, that's the last Planet She-Hulk, because they haven't solicited it for 2 months.
Ooh.
So yeah, I don't know if we're gonna get another Planet She-Hulk, basically. But goddamn, was it a good? It was good because it really, I was expecting one thing, I got something completely different. I'm like, wow, you've got me. I want to read more. Where's the rest of it, Stephanie Phillips? So, or I should say, where's the rest of it, Marvel? Because you probably only gave her 6 issues to do. Let's see, Feral number 22 is a flippy book crossover. with stray dogs.
Oh, clever.
Yep. So the stray dogs got caught up in the whole, we need to vaccinate these, we need to find out, these dogs and cats are all getting severe rabies, and we need to deal with it. We also find out from the stray dogs that their owners were killed by the CDC or whoever it is that's taking the dogs.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
You know, with this administration, it really doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me. Also, I didn't read Stray Dogs, but I found out they have a memory problem.
Hmm.
Like, they can't remember things after a while. I didn't know that about dogs, if that's true.
I don't
Smaller dogs, probably.
Dumb dogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we're, yeah, in my lineage of
tiny
dogs,
little dipshit over bred dogs, yes.
Yeah, Charlie, the doodle.
Yeah.
Fucking moron.
Right.
Sweetest, most lovable dog I have ever owned, but just dumb as a stump.
Yeah.
He has memory problems. Well, he really does now.
All right.
Excuse
Med me. Cave, we have Red Impulse number one. This is straight out of Gatchaman. We get to see Red Impulse doing his best to keep his son alive while his son is Gatchaman. So, yeah, and his son doesn't know that Red Impulse is his dad. You know, it's all kinds of fun. You'd need to have watched, honestly, need to watch Gatchaman or Battle of the Planets to know what the hell we're talking about. Zatanna, number one.
Oh,
yeah.
How was that?
Different. Different. Didn't expect it. I missed a memo. She's suddenly now the Grand Magus or whatever. She's basically whatever I can't remember what they called it, but it's basically the Sorcerer Supreme of the DC Universe.
I need to ask about that noise you just make. Did someone just shove their pinky up your ass? Was that what just happened?
They did.
I can't even. I can't go that high.
Yeah, so I read it and I was like, I don't know, but I did enjoy it, and the artwork is absolutely fucking stunning.
Ooh.
The only problem I had with it was the letterer decided to do a funky font and put white on black, you know, white font on black and stuff, and it was hard to read, you know. It was like, this is annoying. It's like, yeah, don't make it annoying for me to read it, guys. That's a big deal. Otherwise, it's fine. And finally, Captain America number 10. Here comes the Rulk.
That's all
I'm going to say. Here comes the Rulk. So, yikes. First is the guy gets Dr. Doom's armor, and he's got a beef with Cap. And then here comes Rulk.
Is Klaue in it?
Not yet.
Then it's not as bad as it could be.
No. Apparently, Ross got a hold of some. He got a hold of something, and he's made his top commando unit also Hulks.
Oh, good! That's always a better idea.
Always a great idea. And apparently, as I'm reading through my free comic book day copy of Avengers Armageddon by Chip Zdarsky, which is where all this is leading to, Rulk is going to be a big problem. Yeah, so right. Whatever he's doing is going to be a big problem.
All right, then.
Fun. Yep. And that's what I've read. Now we can take a little break.
And
when we come back, we are giving our picks of the week and July.
Okay.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from The Left Show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life and a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
So I shaved my beard and curled my mustache today to give myself an Errol Flynn, and I think I look, with the bald head, I look like Green Arrow from Kingdom Come.
All right.
What I look like right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm like... Now that you've heard Big Blue, it's time for the Democratic response. That's what I'm getting. Then I look at myself on camera. I'm like, oh, I am Oliver Queen, old Oliver Queen. Let's see. What do we got this week? Shell and Nunn.
Yeah.
We are at 79% funding. 79% funding here at the end of the second week. So $4,716 of a $6,000 goal. Obviously, I would prefer that that were $5,000 of a $6,000 goal. Actually, you know, I would prefer it was $7,000 of a $6,000 goal right now.
Right, right.
Because this isn't stressing me out in the least at all. And that's a sarcastic tone. This is absolutely killing me that it isn't funded yet. Because I was worried it's not going to fund. And my world has been proven that particular prophecy has been proven a couple of times for me. So we just need you guys to come out and back us at shellandnunn.com/Kickstarter. It's a great book. People are really, and I'm not just saying that because I wrote it, because people have told me that. So well, I'm going to say it's a great book, and we just would love to have you come out and pledge and pick it up. The artwork, I've been getting back the colors. I've got all the line art, and now I'm getting back the colors, and oh my god, this book is stunning. I thought 5 looked fantastic. This book is going to blow your socks off, kids. So you need to pick up the complete first series of The Shaolin Nun. We got metal covers for number 6. So if you haven't got, if you've gotten every 1 through 5 and you hadn't got 6 yet, get a metal cover. It's going to be it's pretty cool. We got a foil one and a guess it's aluminum. I don't know exactly what. But yeah, we got these covers we're gonna do. And yeah, it's just it looks good, and I'm excited to get it out into people's hands. I believe I don't want to jinx it, because if I say it too much, it's gonna jinx it, but I've gotten enough of the color pages back that unless something happens to Lala, I might be able to make.
Oh my god, shush!
Yeah, I know.
What is the matter with you?
I'm going to jinx this so bad.
Do you have wood nearby to knock on? You don't say things like that.
Yeah, wood right here.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, so yeah, it's one of those things. We're just hoping it all comes through. Touch wood over here. So yeah, it's I'm hoping we can get the book out earlier than August is what I'm saying for issue 6. So you should have your books by the summer. And yeah, everything's looking good. So as long as we fund, you will get your books. If we don't fund, you don't get nothing. Nobody gets nothing, including me. So, and including my artists who need to get paid. So, help us get funded, guys.
Please.
Yeah.
Please, please, please help us get funded. Please. Pretty please, with sugar on it. I will be eternally grateful. Let's give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, Joss, what are you grabbing?
From Marvel Comics, you guys, the second issue is coming out of Captain Marvel Dark Past. This is Carol Danvers trying to figure out the secret militant group with ties to her family. But as more deep-seated memories begin to emerge, Carol realizes she's gone down this road before. But when? Carol's having some memory issues, and she's going to need a little help from Rogue to help figure all this out. So I'm all in. I really enjoyed the first issue of this series, so I'm going to pick up the second issue of the series and see where it's going. How about you, Jeff? You know,
the last time she had dealings with Rogue, it wasn't a good thing. So.
Right. Yes. So I think they're going to make up. That's my theory, at least. We'll see if that's true. How about you, Jeff? What are you picking up this week?
From DC, I'm picking up Green Arrow Year One, the compact edition. I love this fucking format. I am so sorry I mocked it when we first did it. I was like, who the fuck wants a 6x9 comic book? Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And then I read one and was like, me, I am that. I am. And I will admit when I am wrong. And I was wrong. Mm-hmm. So there we go. Yeah, I don't know. It's Andy Diggle. It's Jock. Mm-hmm. And I love both of them. So that one should be good. And then Star Wars from Marvel, Star Wars Rogue One, the Cassian Andor number one. I think these are all just one-offs, right? The Rogue One. I think they're all just single issues.
I think so.
Yeah. But I'm trying to remember when we talked about it in the news. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, it's set prior to Rogue One. Obviously. What a dumb fucking thing to write.
It's not gonna be set post Rogue One and have the characters still walking around, so
what is that? 22 pages of beach sand?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, apparently, for some reason, it's set prior to Rogue One.
Weird.
So strange.
I know. It's your turn. You go. I can't stop laughing.
All right. From Marvel Comics, weird that I'm doing this one. Daredevil number 2
is
coming out. Normally that would be a Joss's grab, but
I
actually set it aside until I saw your picks again, and I was like, oh, never mind, I'll tell you Daredevil. Because Stephanie Phillips is killing it on this one, like she did on She-Hulk, Marvel. But Matt Murdock is, he's a college professor, but a mysterious future-seeing villain called Omen is targeting Matt, not Daredevil. So it's Daredevil who's going to get taught a brutal lesson. When your enemy knows what's coming, every choice is a matter of life and death. Yeah, no shit. So, looking forward to this one. And I read number one and I was hooked.
Do you know, was it before or after Rogue One?
It was...
during. In the
middle
of.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, so it was after, well after Rogue One.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't see it when I was trying to do my picks of the week, or I probably would have grabbed it.
Yep.
I was in the park, so.
And then, another shocker that I'm grabbing this one because I figured Jeff would get it. From DC Comics, we have Tales of the Green Lantern Corps, Guy Gardner number one by Jerry Duggan.
Fuck by a bunch Jerry of Duggan. Guy Gardner. Fuck them.
Yeah.
That's what I get. That's my representation in comics is fucking Guy Gardner.
It's fucking Guy Gardner.
Yeah, blow me.
In this corner, we have intergalactic heavyweight Guy Gardner fighting the fucking Division, and his challenges are Manhunter androids, space apes, the guardians of fellow Lantern John Stewart. And this is basically Deadpool. It's Matteo Lolli and Jerry Duggan presents Light Club, a tale of the best and worst Lantern in the Corps.
Oh, shit. That does sound good.
Yeah. Sounds really fucking good. and then indie-wise, everything Jeff and Jocelyn picked were my picks as well. But I did find this one that I think looked really interesting from Avery Hill Publishing. We have a graphic novel, Adrift on a Painted Sea.
Oh, that sounds
intended
good.
Intended for mature audiences. Sue Bird was always painting.
How are you going to pick it up?
I'm not. Sue Bird was always painting botanical art, landscapes, still lifes, and especially the sea. She took classes, kept countless sketchbooks, and filled the house with art. From their neighborhood to their family trips, all the moments in her life were memorialized in her artwork. Throughout her life, she never sold a piece. She gave art to family and friends and shared her work online, but never received wider recognition for her work. This graphic novel by her son, Tim Bird, explores their family life and her creative explorations through a mix of her paintings and Tim's comics, depicting their relationship and her life from teenagehood to her struggle with cancer at the height of the COVID pandemic. After her death, this graphic novel at last showcases her work. It is at its heart, a book about creativity and family relationships. Adrift on a Painted Sea tells a story about the things we overlook in the people closest to us. Completely by Tim Bird, obviously. And
wow,
I don't know if he's, I think he's using Sue Bird's paintings as well all the way through. So,
oh, yeah, wow.
It sounds very touching and very cool. And
it does.
I really want to find it and read it. And now you get to follow me on that one, Joss or Jeff.
Let's see. From Mad Cave, we've got Dog Tag. It's a fictional story about a very real war. Mm-hmm. Follows the life and thoughts of Corporal Tom Fuller through the final year of World War II as his service takes him from the invasion of Normandy to the surrender of Japan. Mm-hmm. That sounds interesting to me. So yeah. I like the thought of that one. And then... from Bad Idea, Hank Howard, Pizza Detective. Slice of Life, number one, The Two Hollywoods. Boy, that's a lot of titles for one comic book.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
But this is Robert Venditti. Did Superman 78, did Planet Death, which was fucking great. Mm-hmm. And world-renowned comics legend David Lapham, Stray Bullets and the Hero Trade. Have combined powers to bring you a striking new vision in the fight against crime. But yeah, a pizza detective? Are you shitting me? Fuck yeah, I'm in. I'm in. What about you, Jocelyn?
I love it. From Image Comics, If Destruction Be Our Lot, number one, humanity is extinct and all that remains are the robots who once helped us. The robots who once helped us are happier now, doing their work without human interference. But not Abe. He believes there must be something more out there. After nearly getting killed, he's determined to wander the earth until he finds it, or gets recycled trying. Brilliant artist Andy McDonald, and adequate writers, that killed me, honestly.
Yeah.
Adequate writers Mark Elijah Rosenberg and Matthew Rosenberg bring you an ongoing sci-fi adventure about finding purpose, holding on to hope, and really lonely robots. I like robots. I'll pick it up.
Love Death and Robots.
Yep. Yeah. And that's it for this week.
All right. Well, we'll hop in the TARDIS and we're going to head to July to give our picks of the future. Okay, Joss, what's your pick here in July? Your first pick of July?
My first pick of July is also from Image Comics. And I believe... if I did make this a pick of the week, I didn't pick it up. So now it's coming out in a trade, and it's Dork by Brett Bean. It is, oh my gosh, it says, the perfect mix of Bone, The Dark Crystal, Discworld, and Monty Python. Dork, the half-dwarf, half-orc, is fated to end the world because of some inconvenient doomsday prophecy from the Book of Certain Doom. Armed with nothing but a magical yet ambitiously violent shield and a chicken with its head cut off, Dork is thrown dead center in the Sundering's never-ending war between the light and dark elves versus orcs, wizards versus common sense, dragons versus literally everyone. Can he survive being hunted, blamed, and beaten by every human, elf, goblin, dwarf, witch, Time Lord, ice giant, three-headed dog, and at least three other unpronounceable magical creatures? Join fan favorite artist Brett Bean and colorist Jean-Francois Beaulieu and letterer Nate Picos for a hilarious high fantasy romp perfect for fans of Conan, The Lord of the Rings, and of course, Gert's deadpan humor. I would also say
if you've ever read Gru the Wanderer or The Myth Adventures by Robert Asprin, This sounds exactly like that. It's right up that alley. I love it.
Yeah. It just sounds incredibly whimsical and like a great start to Beltane to me. So I'll pick it up. I'll pick it up. How about you, Jeff?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Because it seems that my pick has been unsolicited.
Oh, my.
It was here yesterday. It was here this morning. It is gone now.
Oh, no.
So what I was going to pick up was from Vault. He who fights with monsters, because it just looked amazing. And nope. So I'm going to pick up. What the fuck? From Vault, Godfather of Hell, the trade paperback.
There you go.
Dario Santini has lived a charmed life as an enforcer and debt collector for mob boss Niccolo Machidi. He's had it all, respect, power, even the love of a good woman. Nothing better. But everything changes when he crosses a line and is shot dead on the sidewalk. Waking up in hell, Dario decides a future of pain and suffering. Unless he can turn eternal damnation into a business opportunity. Fuck yeah. Absolutely. I am in for this one. Godfather of Hell. Next.
All right. My pick.
Yes, sir.
Because I have to bring it up because it's coming out in July.
Daredevil.
Marvel Swimsuit Special. Brand new Beach Day number one. By Cody Ziegler, Daniel Kibble-Smith, Rainbow Rowell, and Anthony Oliveira, with artists Pasquale Ferri, Valerio Schitti, Dan Panosian, Javier Guerin, Carmen Carnero, and more Marvel All-Stars. Featuring cover artists J. Scott Campbell, John Romita Jr., Terry Dodson. You got Art Germ.
Oh, wow.
You've got, because of course you're going to have Art Germ, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have a cover by AKA, a variant cover by Mirka Andolfo, and a variant cover by Kara Andrews. You asked for it. You got it. The Return of the Marvel Swimsuit. I did not ask for it. I didn't want it.
It was
me. Return of the Marvel Swimsuit Special. Don't worry. We also heard your complaints that allegedly we've been too safe and had too many words. So we're making this one sexier than ever. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ew. Is Rob Liefeld doing this?
Yeah, I know.
That's the level
Plus
of creep I'm
four
getting.
Four fun, zany, half-naked stories from across the Marvel Universe to whet your appetite so you can still say you read it for the articles.
That's a
yes!
Good, that's a good solicit.
Give me a Marvel swimsuit issue. Yes, please.
Well done.
Okay.
Well done.
Complete with Venom enjoying an ice cream cone on the cover. Because why not?
The tongue. It's the tongue.
It's the tongue.
Chicks dig the tongue.
Exactly. Chicks dig the tongue. And we're going to take a little break because, God, we need one. And when we come back, we are headed to Tinseltown.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hey, folks. Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
I'll sit here and do Rocky and Bullwinkle all day. Hello, darling! It is time to fulfill
mission. At some point, he'll do the voices, too.
From Fearless Leader! Anyway. We're back.
Oh, good.
Yay.
Welcome back, everyone.
Well, let's...
I had to do my Boris.
Let's talk about all the things we watched that wasn't Daredevil this week.
Sweet, let's do it. I finished Paradise season 2.
Nice.
Okay, you guys have to watch the show.
I'm 2 episodes in.
Are okay. I told you I would do a rewatch with you, though. So now I've got to go back to season 1 and watch the first.
It was late at night, and I was high as a kite. Oh. So.
Okay, well.
Much like this evening.
Good luck. Good luck. So many twists in season 2. I can't say anything because it will spoil it.
Yeah, please don't.
I haven't seen it. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
But it is so good, and I now have to wait an entire year for season 3, and I'm kind of mad about that. But also, if it continues to be this good, fine, because it was so good, you guys. That's literally all I can say. And then I forgot that I watched this until I saw what you watched, but I did watch the first few episodes of Margo's Got Money Troubles.
Isn't that great?
Oh my God, what a hilarious, what a great show. What a fun show.
I came for Nick Offerman. I'm staying for Nick Offerman. Oh. God damn, is it a great cast? Yeah.
Right. Elle Fanning is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
For a couple of reasons.
But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. So, and then the only other thing to mention is Daredevil. So we'll talk about that at the end. How about you, Jeff? What did you watch?
I'll start out with Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. For those of you paying attention to Gen Zex, the new show here on the Defenestrate Media Network.
Is that Gen Zex homework?
That is.
Nice.
From 1982, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Seminal film.
Such a good movie. Such a good movie. I finished it this morning before I watched soccer. X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, I like
don't
that one.
Don't care. I don't care. We will disagree forever. I know it's not her power. I know she has no business doing it. I know, but it's Hugh Jackman running around as 60s Wolverine, and it's fucking great.
Honestly, all they had to do was have a psychic come in with short red hair, you know, like it had been shaved, never name her, have her do the thing. All the fanboys would have been, that's Rachel Summers, holy shit. But you never name her, so it doesn't have to be Rachel Summers. Yeah. It just happens to be a redheaded psychic. She sends Wolverine back in time, like Rachel Summers did to Kitty Pryde in Days of Future Past. And I would have fucking loved that film, and that's what killed it for me, was that moment. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, you in that one, you ran up against people that were at the third movie of a 3-movie contract, and they just wanted to burn it off.
No right. Shit. Yeah, it really right. was.
Then I watched X-Men Apocalypse, because
you like pool noodles?
I'm like, it's Poe Dameron, for fuck's sake. I want to love it. And it's
such a talented actor in an unfortunate role. That was
I was going to say, I don't think I saw that one. I feel like it was...
It's
so panned that I didn't even bother.
Okay. It's okay.
Fine.
Oscar Isaac's costume's okay. Fucking Olivia Munn's in it as Psylocke. And I was okay with that. You know, I was
Carlos
excited
Duff
about that.
I thought was better than what they did with
Alan Cumming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought the Nick Carlos stuff was a lot better. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were things to recommend, and mostly it was just, hey, it was better than X-Men 3.
Yeah.
And then I may or may not admit that I'm halfway through the second Dark Phoenix.
Oh.
Yeah, it stings. I'm watching it in pieces.
It hurts. It's painful.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it either.
Well, I've...
That was the third movie problem, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine is I'm running out of subscriptions. So I'm rewatching some shit. Okay, all right. Buckle the fuck up.
All right.
Good luck, have fun, don't die. What a masterpiece.
Oh wow.
My God. I can't. It's all a spoiler. But Sam Rockwell is the best thing he's ever fucking done.
Really?
It's insane. A guy from the future comes back to recruit a team of people from all of the people in this busy diner. And he's trying to find the right mix of them. And so he's come and gone a few times.
No. You know? And his only choice is in the diner. He doesn't go to like barracks
in the diner.
Or something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking great. Juno Temple's in it. She's great. Zazie Beetz is in it. She's great. Is it Michael Pena?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's in it. He's fucking great. I mean, it's just, it's really quite good. If you have a chance to watch it, just watch it. Good luck. Have fun. Don't die.
Don't die. Makes me laugh when I hear that.
And then Monarch got another good monster fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no secret there. That's what's going to happen in Monarch. It was a little less... No, it wasn't. It was still a soap opera.
It was absolutely a soap opera. I think, was that the finale? It felt like the finale.
It felt finally, didn't it?
Yeah, felt very finally.
Yeah. If there is, there's probably only one more. So, but I think that felt like it.
Well, I mean, you know, he went off to hang out to work with Indonesian pirates and then climb the mountain to look at Ghidorah. And I was like, oh, to be continued in Godzilla, King of Monsters.
Yeah, more than likely.
That's basically it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, now we know where we are in the movie timeline, basically. Yeah.
I have not had time to watch For All Mankind this week. So as I pass the time over to Brother Carter, all I got left is Daredevil.
Margot's got money problems. We were hooked. First episode, we were hooked.
Right.
And when we got all the stuff with Jinx, the character of Jinx, I was like, I'm in love. I cannot not watch this show. My wife was fortunately feeling the same way. He does a thing, you haven't gotten there yet, but he does a thing, and I was like, how, that's gonna have consequences. But then the very next episode, we don't deal with consequences. I was like, okay, it's still gonna have consequences. This isn't you know, something you can walk away from. I'm actually keen on reading the book that it's based on, because there's a book it's based on. So that seems to be Apple's thing, is they take a book and they put in the greatest fucking cast they can, and they make it. And they don't deviate too far from the book. Dear Apple TV, I've got a book that I would love to convert into a series. It's called Mondays in America by Jeff Bell.
Oh, yeah, because what we need is a fucking TV series about a whiny white guy who podcasts.
Who podcasts?
Actually, I think it would
be
great.
I think it would be hilarious. I think people would turn it into their own version of the soccer one. You
Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. It'd be their Ted Lasso. It'd be their source of comfort.
Be called Ted Asshole.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer for season?
Oh goodness, yes.
Season 4. Okay, good.
Several times.
I think I sent it to you too. Yep. I was so excited.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry.
We had The Boys. Okay, so I gotta wonder, you know, the writing team had to have written this a year or 2 years ago, this season. And were they writing it going, yeah, we're really taking this to a place nobody's, you know, I don't know if people are gonna believe this could happen in America with where we're taking this. And then they get to now, and they're watching the news going, holy fuck, we predicted this shit down to the letter. I mean, it is so fucking creepy just how it's like either they're writing it and filming it the week after something happens in the news, or these guys just figured out exactly how shitty this country was going to turn under Trump, because all of this is basically Donald Trump. Homelander is Donald Trump. And I'm laughing every time I think about those MAGA guys who put up Homelanders going, this is the superhero we need. I'm like, you know, it's mocking you and you're dipshit, right? But yeah. Oh my God. What an amazing, and this last episode, the ending I knew it was coming, and it still shocked me. That's how good it was. Just the moment, the brutality of it. I was like, I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming from almost the beginning, from the beginning of the episode, and pretty much from the end of the last episode. I knew that this moment was going to come at some point. And when it happened, I was like, fuck, just turtle. And then, and speaking of brutality, we got Daredevil.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Oh my God. Yep. That's all I can say. I literally watched the entire last episode with my hands over my mouth because I was, that's how it was. That's the only thing I can say. I don't know. What can you say that doesn't like spoil anything? Cause
I got nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. I can't think of, I can say without referring to anything specifically. Yeah. I kind of knew what happened, you know, in the middle was going to happen. I knew that he was going to do that. And I'm like, right. And then I thought, well, then he's got to be using Poindexter for a thing. But then that thing turned out to be something else. So I'm like, this is very interesting.
Right.
And then the fact that what happened to them, I'm like, they got to go back to court. And you fuckers. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. And Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones.
Matt did Catholic stuff.
Yes.
Kingpin was upset.
Mm-hmm.
Poindexter was an asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
But an asshole outside of the angels, you know, again.
Yeah. And then there's that one fucking cop that just makes me want to smack him in the mouth every time he talks.
Powell. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for them to feed him to Frank Castle in Daredevil in Punisher next 2 weeks from now? 2 weeks.
2 weeks from now, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got that final scene, I was like, again, this was just like that last moment of The Boys. I knew it was coming. I fucking knew it was coming. The whole fucking show, I knew it was coming. And then it happened, and I was like, Jesus Christ. Because it was so brutal, you know?
Right.
I was like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck? You know, I was really, and I'm like, I knew this was coming. Why am I reacting this strongly to it? I knew it was coming, but it was like, holy shit. Yeah. Whew. Damn. Good Daredevil. Thank you, Marvel.
I know. And I'm sad, though, because I saw a blurb. I didn't find an actual article to link over, but rumor has it that it's not doing well. It's only got like 50% of the viewership that season one got.
What the fuck? Start watching now! Start watching now! Oh my God!
I know. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good.
Please, we need to keep this going. Holy shit.
Well, we know we get season three.
Yeah.
We know that, so. But gosh, I'll be sad if they end it at season three. But look, I'm biased.
They learned their lesson. They didn't cancel, Jimmy Kimmel again after this last week. So they've learned their lesson. You don't have to cancel your Disney subscription. I know people got laid off, and they're going to replace them with people using AI. It is what it is. But Daredevil doesn't rely on a whole lot of it, and it's such a good show. You need to be watching it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's Apple TV level viewing. You need to be watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. All right.
Oh, and one last thing about The Boys. It has a cameo that it has cameos that will make every Supernatural fan wet themselves, as well as celebrity cameos from a lot of the producers on the show, which made me and none of them come to a clean end. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
A lot of fun.
So let's find out what's happening in Tinseltown this week with the Tinseltown news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
You know how we're supposed to separate the art from the artist?
You know,
and that sometimes someone that you thought a lot about in even in a particular way because they were attractive, and they opened their mouth during COVID and dipshit flew out, and you're just like, oh fuck, I guess I'm done with you.
Right.
You know, but on the other hand, she's not J.K. Rowling.
That is completely fair.
So, problematic hottie, Evangeline Lilly. Oh, I was mad at her during COVID. I was mad at her.
Yep.
Blew up fucking Disney for the Marvel layoffs you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Yep. Shame on you, she says, for turning your back on the people who gave you power. That's it. This is a redemption story for me.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay.
But basically, Disney fired.
Way back into the good side of the world.
Yeah. So Disney fired most of the AI guys, all the VFX guys, you know, that were working on Marvel movies. And one of the fucking studio execs was like, yeah, people just fucking get used to it. It's going to be fucking AI. And, you know.
And it's going to drive people away. It's probably why Daredevil lost viewership. And they also hit the art department because Andy Park, former Marvel studio, Marvel comics artist, Andy Park, was hit by it. I know that. Yeah.
So, yeah, she just was like, fuck you, Marvel. Fuck you, Disney. What in the fuck is the matter with you? And as far as I'm concerned, she's at 70% of her former luster for me.
All right, fair enough.
She's not vaccinated, so I mean, I don't want to get too close, but
I will admire her from afar as I've always done. How's that sound?
Yep, yeah. Yeah, as per the restraining order.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, you know
just,
what?
Just treat it like you have a restraining order. Yep.
We got a lot more news, but I'm going to carry that over to Patreon this week.
Awesome.
Which means you need to join us at Patreon at patreon.com/defendmedia, where every week we give you extra content. This week, we got four news stories we didn't get to, and we're going to cover them. Stories about Diego Luna, Cara Bueno, Andy Serkis, and Shudagawa. So you want to be there for that.
I love that guy.
We also have a couple of articles that we want to talk about. One involving DC Comics and one involving Spider-Man. So join us this week, please, at patreon.com/defendmedia. Join our Patreon squad. Help us turn it into a Patreon platoon at patreon.com/defendmedia. And until I see you again, which I don't because this is audio, so until you hear me again, I will say, as I always do, until Marvel has Venom licking an ice cream cone, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again.